Well, God is really amazing. We know that. We have all told stories of how he's changed our lives. It's been an amazing road for many of us, how God has worked and moved. And it's been fun to watch what he does in his perfect timing, even in the last several months. 5 years ago, began the process of having a group write Sunday school lessons for us from Lifeway. And at that time, I was responsible to give them books in advance that we were going to cover, books of the Bible in advance that we were going to cover in the years ahead. And so at that time, began to list out the various books. And sure enough, 5 years ago, what book are we currently studying in Sunday school? Joshua, Transition of Leadership. So 5 years ago, God placed on our hearts for Joshua to be covered at this point. That's not by accident. Last year, at Derek's house, our teaching team began to talk through what we were going to cover, books of the Bible in the coming year, praying and seeking the Lord. And as it would just be, today, Palm Sunday, is the last day we're covering the Old Testament, transitioning into the New Testament, another transition. So the hand and works of God and how amazing he is in his timing and the way that he does things, it's hard to explain other than that is just a God thing. And that's exactly what has been happening in our midst. Today's concluding Old Testament passage message actually summarizes for us the big strokes of God's activity since Adam and Eve introduced sin into the human condition. And last week, preaching at Antioch, I pointed out that it's easy to lose sight of the timeline. I believe Derek pointed out the same thing here of the Old Testament and the way that it's written and laid out. And that's why it's good for us to have a chronological Bible so we can actually see the timeline that he has placed before us. So you can see the reason the three books we'll look at today, Esther, Nehemiah, and Malachi, in that order are the last books we'll cover from the Old Testament. Like the rest of the Old Testament, they're telling us the single story of the Bible, the single thread of Jesus all the way through it, the redemption of mankind as Christ came and did the work. A story that exists to answer the question, what will God do to restore humanity to our original purpose? A story that unfolds God's plan to do that by setting apart a man from whom a whole family would come to produce for us, to create for us, to have for us a Savior. And all through this story, we see some broad themes of God working and moving, and we see those in all three of the books. First, we see that God provides for his people at just the right time. We're going to begin in Esther, and so if you've got your Bibles, you can turn into Esther chapter 4. We're going to spend some time in the latter part of that chapter. Esther is one of the most interesting stories in Scripture. So interesting, in fact, that we are going to spend an entire series this summer talking through and looking through that book. It's a story of a young Jewish woman living in Babylon after the king had issued a decree that permitted the Jewish exiles to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. She had been born in Persia, and it's also where her parents were born, her family lines. And so years and years of lineage, background, family. It was likely that her parents may have known some people who had come from the exile, but in that sense, she would have been most like other folks living in Babylon at that time with a family history of those connected to the Jewish homeland, the faith it represented, but nothing more than that. In fact, God is never mentioned by name or referenced in the book of Esther. It's interesting, but he is clearly and obviously moving behind the scenes to provide for his people still living in Babylon. So the broad picture goes like this. The Persian king, Artaxerxes, became displeased with his wife, divorced her, and looked for someone to replace her. Esther was selected to be the place of that person for him, his queen. She was an orphan being raised by her righteous uncle, Mordecai. And he's something of a hero because he uncovered a plot to assassinate the king. As a result, became a part of the king's guard, one of his higher officials. We got sideways with another official, Haman, and he did what he called, we might call overreacting in that. He made the decision that the Jewish population was to be wiped out, eliminated. And the king foolishly signed off on it. So it was a situation where there was a great need for a miracle of God. And Mordecai thought, I will go through Esther. That is a good line. Maybe she can talk to the king and make some sense. So in his desperation to save his people from destruction, he went to back channels to talk to Esther to be able to have her do that, to run in front of the king. Her issue, though, was that she could not go to the king and have a discussion with him or a conversation unless she was invited. If she did, that meant instant death for her. So let's pick up the story in Esther chapter 4, verse 12. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you will have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. For such a time as this, Mordecai challenged Esther to see that perhaps she had been placed by God for such a time as this to rescue that people. And here's how she responded. Keep going. Verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. So what happened? She acted. And as a result, she saved her people. Through Esther, God provided for his people at just the right time. This is a pattern God shows in caring for his people over and over again. In the book of Genesis, we hear the story once again, and we've talked about this in the last 4 months, of Joseph harshly treated. And as a result, he was placed in a position to be able to save in many respects because of storing up food, provision for people, an entire people group. It's a pattern that shows up in the New Testament as well. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Christ came at just the right time for the salvation of the world. Greek was the primary language used, and so through the Roman roads, his message was presented to the world by different people, and the gospel spread. God has also provided for his people at just the right time. Well, part of my life story represents and shows that in great ways. 29 years, my parents, family members who knew Christ, prayed for my spouse. 29 years. So, in the most unlikely of places, Fort Worth, Texas, when I was going to seminary, walked into Sam's Club, got a job working on the floor. If you don't know what the floor is, it's folding clothes, it's filling the freezer cooler. Everyone who stocks, that was basically my job. I was also a cashier in the front. Well, what happened? Tiffany transferred from a club in another state. She had gone to school for a semester, transferred back in, was working up front. Actually, she was my boss. Not a bad line. Some of you have heard this story before. So one night, I was drawing footprints on the floor in front of the membership desk. If you have a Sam's Club card, you know that you've got to get your picture taken. And to get your picture taken correctly, you've got to stand in the right spot. So here I am, a 29-year-old man with a Sharpie marker drawing footprints on the floor. Yes, with smiley faces. Totally impressive. Tiffany walks over. Hey, what you doing? Well, drawn footprints on the floor, they were kind of wearing out. Oh, that's great. Hey, listen, I've got a question for you. Yeah? On the floor? What's that? Why aren't you married yet? Well, thanks for that. I'll clock out. It's been a good day. So, well, God just hasn't bright the right person for me yet. I'm still waiting for that woman that God has for me, and he's not revealed who she is yet. And she said, standing there, well, I'd marry you. turned around and walked off, saying in her mind, oh my land, what did I just do and say? Well, months later, little did either of us know, she was the one that we had been praying for years. At just the right time in Sam's Club, drawing feet on a floor, the most unlikely of places, the most unlikely of situations, God brought Tiffany into my view. She said what she said, and sure enough, God answered that prayer of 29 years. And that was almost 19 years ago, this summer, 19 years. Just the right time, God provided. I bet everyone in this room has a story similar to that, where God provided for you something in some way at just the right time. Maybe it's not your spouse, something else. And he showed up and he moved. And you were grateful and you reflect back at that time saying, thank you, God, for doing that in my life. Salvation is like that for us. Every one of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus at just the right time, God saved us. We can all relate to that who have surrendered to him at just the right time, in just the right way. And he does that with us day to day. And when he does, when he provides that way, God provides for his people in just the right way. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah. That's our next section of scripture. It's two books backwards if you've got your Bibles, and turn to chapter 2. Like Mordecai, Nehemiah is an official in King Artaxerxes' court, a cupbearer, someone who had the implicit trust of the king because he used to sample his drink for him to make sure that he wasn't being poisoned. And so he was very trusted. Like Mordecai, he heard of what was taking place with the Jews, the time of Jerusalem, as without the walls, they were at the mercy of bandits and those who were against them. And like Esther, he is positioned to be able to petition the king for help. So what is recorded in Esther, the book of Nehemiah opens with at the close of it. Whereas the well-being of Jews in Persia had been the focus of Esther, the well-being of the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem is the focus of Nehemiah. So we look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In the mouth of Nisan, 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. Our countenance matters. The king recognized there was something going on with him. His countenance was different. He picked up on it and he responded, something is not right. Why are you sad in my presence? I think if we walk through grocery stores, we walk through our neighborhoods, if we look at something other than our phones, if our faces aren't buried into this, and we're actually seeing the faces of people, will we see need? Desperation, sadness, it's all around us, but we miss it because we're distracted. I don't always miss it because of my phone. I miss it because of my list, because I'm trying to go as fast as possible to get to the next thing in life. But if we just take an extra moment and focus on the faces and have the courage to ask, could God be at work in that in us? J. West Crockett, who is in the room, is one of the most amazing people in this way. J. West doesn't walk through stores with his phone in his face. He doesn't walk around with a list. I don't know how he gets his shopping done without one. But he actually at times plans extra time, especially when he's walking through Walmart, because he wants to meet the needs of people that he's walking by. Who does that? First person in my life I think I've ever met. He plans extra time at Walmart just to walk around and see people. And in that, the guy without fear starts conversations. And it's amazing. You should talk to him about the way God has done things in and through him, because he's just been open and available and he has his head up. It's amazing. Could God do in and through us? Absolutely, all the time. What are we waiting for? Tiffany, on my calendar, I need 5 extra minutes from Walmart next week. Okay, good. Let's put it in the calendar right now. Okay, I'd love to be able to respond that way. Okay, let's keep going. He noticed that his countenance was sad. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing that you are not sick? This is something but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. So scared to death, oh man, he has seen a different countenance. I'm in trouble, and this will not go well. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, What are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. God had positioned Nehemiah like he had positioned Esther to provide for his people at the right time. But what stands out to me in this passage is that he also used Nehemiah to provide for his people in just the right way. From the king, he received permission to go rebuild the walls in Jerusalem, and he had the authority to have anything he needed to make that happen. Everything that Nehemiah needed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he received. And God provided for the people in just the right way. Once again, we see the theme of the Old Testament going once back to the life of Joseph. God positioned him just in the right way at the right time to be able to save that people group. When God's people are in desperate need, he provides them exactly what they need, even if at times they aren't aware that they really need it. Back to seminary days, one more time. Going to school, as you know, seminary students can be challenging. Not only the loneliness that sets in first semester, of course, pre-Tiffany, living away from family, but also financially the needs, the challenges that are present. Trying to find a job, working the job, trying to save money, paying for an apartment, everything that comes with it, and trying to figure all of that out in the midst of it and go to school and balance priorities. Well, in November of that year, things were super tight. I didn't know how I was going to pay for my bills. Talked to my parents, talked to a friend of mine from Joplin, Missouri, which had been a longtime friend, someone where I served, and said, I'm struggling. I need you guys to pray for me. I don't know that I'm going to be able to make my apartment. Well, my apartment cost. 1999, 29 years old. So what happens? My parents talk with a friend of ours, longtime family friend, knew me from birth, shared the need, and what came in the mail at just the right time, 2 days before my rent was due? A check for more than the amount of my rent. My parents didn't ask Karen Mosier, who now has gone to be with the Lord, to send a check to help me. They didn't ask for financial provision from her. They just shared the need and asked for prayer. What did she do? She responded the way that God told her to respond. And I will never forget the sacrifice she made to help me make it through. Not soon after, 2 months, God introduced me to my wife. Amazing movement of God. How has he worked in your life in that way? At just the right time, providing what you needed. Maybe not with a wife or a husband or financially, but what you needed at that moment. We need to remember Galatians 4:4 through 5 once again. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. If you were a Jew living at the time of Christ, what they needed spiritually was a savior. But what they said they needed was nothing, because they stuck to the law. And if they were good people and they kept the law, they thought they were covered. But their religion provided for them not what they needed to be right with God. They didn't realize that their religion only pointed to what they needed. It didn't ultimately provide them with all of what they needed. All the rules and rituals, the law, didn't justify them. It just proved their guilt. Because they had no ability to be perfect, their religion was not able to make them right before God. It required salvation. Even the people believed that they could earn favor with God by doing right, by being religious. And we all know people who live like that, who are constantly trying to reach up to be a good person so God will accept them. Are you going to heaven? I hope so. What's it based on? If I'm a good person. Well, we know that the religious system set up in the Old Testament, and even today, that is not how you enter eternity with God. God provides for his people at just the right time, in just the right way. He provided Christ for us to enter salvation, to surrender our lives to him, and he provides for his people through just the right person. God provides for his people through just the right person. The book of Malachi really is the last book of the Bible before the New Testament was written. Contains the oracles of an otherwise unknown prophet named Malachi, words which were spoken to the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem, Jews who had become lazy in their commitment to God, and they were faithless in many respects. But God, through Malachi, in spite of their lack of faith, is about to fulfill the promise of the one he was to send to undo the sin of the garden, the Messiah. Look in Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, last book of the Old Testament. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years." Jesus interprets for us in Matthew 11 and tells us that the messenger is John the Baptist, the one who was sent by God to announce the coming of the Messiah. And on that day, we call Palm Sunday, today, the Lord came to his temple. Look at Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. This will be the last passage that we read. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me.'" That could be a message all of itself about the faith of those two disciples who went and did that, possibly to an unknown individual, we don't know. The challenge that they had, the strength, courage they had to do that. "If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." So they had the confidence of Christ. "This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying," and this comes out of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Say to the daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did